All right, our lesson, we're still in the book of Ezekiel, just getting started. We're in chapter 2, verse 5, and hope to go to chapter 3, verse 2 in our lesson today. We're in the part where now God is speaking to Ezekiel and giving him the message that he sent these four living creatures and the wheels to deliver this message to him in high technology. And so in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear for their rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now Ezekiel was told by God that he was sending him to Israel, to the house of Israel. He was captive in Babylon, and he was to go to those who were taken captive by Babylon, by Nebuchadnezzar. And he was to speak to them. But he told him that they would be a rebellious nation. They wouldn't listen, wouldn't pay attention to him. And so here he's reminding Ezekiel, said, whether they hear or whether they forbear, whether they hear or not, they're going to know that there was a prophet among you. Not from what Ezekiel would do, but what God would do through Ezekiel. And there's times when we're sent to proclaim God's word and teach God's word, and people don't listen. And they don't want to listen. They're rebellious, or are they afraid to get involved in it? But yet God will reveal that there's a prophet in their midst and that they should have listened and paid attention to what was there. So question one, the rebellious nation of Israel would know that a prophet was among them, whether they hear or not. Now, here the word prophet is dealing with not the matter of prophesying what the weather's going to be tomorrow or who's going to be elected to this or that, but the matter of explaining God's word. And a prophet is one who would explain not only what God was doing then, but what he was going to do in the future. And Ezekiel would be dealing with things in the future that God would reveal to him, and not only in the immediate future of his time, but even in our time and the future yet. We're yet to see some of the things that Ezekiel, that God had him to prophesy about the events to come on them. And so now in verse 6, and thou son of man, we talked about that term, son of man, and recognizing who Ezekiel really is, and said, thou son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. He said, don't be afraid now. Regardless of what they might do or what might happen, I'm with you. And this is God's will and God's business. And that's the thing that we don't realize. When we talk about doing God's will, this is the glorious thing, the wonderful thing. Everything's going to be fine about doing God's will. When you do God's will, everything, the bottom falls out of the bucket. I mean, you're going to be tested. You're going to be, are you doing it by faith or doing it by works? And to do God's will, you got to do it by faith. And you're going to have opposition. People are not going to like it, not want to rebel with it. And you're going to find around you hardships. He said, the briars and thorns be with you. Instead of walking through the garden on that and seeing the beautiful flowers, you're trying to get through briars and thorns. And every which way you turn, you've got a problem. Now, things just not working out right. I'm trying to do God's will and things not working out right. What do we normally think when that happens? Well, this is not God's will. No, that's God's will. Even though you dwell among scorpions, say, you don't know what's going to happen in this. And so, but he was told him, don't be afraid. We have God's power. Now, remember what Jesus said? He said, I send you forth as sheep. No, as a lamb among the wolves. Now, if he sent me in a herd of sheep, a flock of sheep, I don't know which was the flock of sheep, I think it is, a herd. Anyway, with all, say that I'm with 100 sheep and the wolves gather around, well, I've got 99 chances they'll eat them before they eat me. But if he sends me by myself and all the wolves around, what chance do I have? Well, you see, in the presence of my enemies, God prepares a table for me, a feast. And the victory is there through God, not through ourselves. So question to Ezekiel was not to be afraid of them. Their words are their looks. We try to, and one of the things that I had to learn is not try to read the congregation. Okay. You can see, as you see what's going on and you preach something, and whether or not they're responding or not responding. And it's difficult to read them. And then when you get to reading them, you're in a mess. And you're not to do that. So don't be afraid of their looks. Don't try to read them. You just do what I have you to do and just trust me. So don't be afraid. Ezekiel was going to really be put through the trial on this. And said, this is what's going to come your way. Verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words. Did you get that? Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. So Ezekiel was to speak what he thought. No, he was to speak God's word. So question 3, Ezekiel was to speak God's
words
to them, whether they would hear or not. Now, the people are going to try to find preachers that will tickle their ears.
Yeah.
See? They don't want those that are speaking God's words. They don't want to hear it. They'll find it in every which way. Ezekiel was going to experience this, and we experience it today. Ezekiel 2:8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Now, just put that word eat in the back of your mind for right now. We'll talk about it pretty well at the close of this. But here, he was to hear what God said to him. He was not to be rebellious like the others. So question 4, Ezekiel was not to be
rebellious,
but to eat what he heard from God. And so the emphasis upon that word eat. Now, Ezekiel 2:9, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And so he sees this hand with the scroll coming in. Every time I read that, I think about an experience I had in Bremerton, Washington. They had heard about my teaching aboard the aircraft carrier. We were in dry dock there. And so the servicemen center in Washington, in Bremerton, Washington, he had an invitation in all the churches in town to come and put on a program whenever he wanted to. It was an open invitation. He said, I've got this. You want to preach? I said, sure. And so we went into church. I went in some church. He said, now if you're going to give an invitation, you got to explain what it is. They don't know what an invitation is. Don't give one on that. Well, we went to a storefront. They had the downtown, this mission, and they were in an old store. And, of course, had built a platform in the back, and the glass window, big open glass windows that you'd have for a store, was there. Well, this was down around Skid Row and where the alcoholics and drunkards would be, and others, and drugs on drugs, one thing or another, and they tried to get them to come in and hear the gospel. Well, when it came time to preach, he said, now, when it comes time to preach, we're going to turn off the lights. There'll be one spotlight on you, and that's all we'll have in here. And said, the reason for that is because they won't come in, but if it's dark, they'll come in and sit back there. Well, when we started on that, I only had a handful of people there, and then they turned all the lights off. I didn't know whether they were still there or we had people come in or what. I couldn't see anything. on that, just that light around me. And it made a kind of a circle around me of that spotlight. Well, I preached and gave the invitation, and I was standing down at the front, and that spotlight was on me, and still no light in the congregation. And I saw a hand come out of that darkness, reaching out for me. And that has a lot of meaning, not only in the matter of coming out of the darkness into the light and wanting God's help, because that individual came and was saved. But here, when I see this, behold, a hand was sent unto me. All Ezekiel saw, not seeing the person, but that's what he saw first, was that hand with a roll of a book was there in. He was holding this scroll in his hand. And verse 10, and he spread it before me. He spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. So now Ezekiel sees this hand bringing this book, knows that it was a man that brought it. He spread it before me. It was opened up. He noticed that as the roll was, it was written on the outside and on the inside. And then on the inside was lamentations, mournings, and woes. So question 5, a roll of a book was spread before Ezekiel, written, all right, within and without. And my first thought was concerning the seven seal scroll of in Revelation. But that's not, it's really, of course, the seven seal scroll has all of the mournings and woes that's involved in it. But it said this book is similar to the book of the angel had for John in Revelation 10:18. In the seven seal book, John wasn't to eat the seven seal book. But the angel that appeared, that stood on the water and on the land, had a little book in his hand. And in verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said, and said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. So verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And so question 6, the book that the angel had was a little book. Question 7, John was told to eat the book, and he ate it. He ate it up. Now, to eat it up means to eat all of it. Our children, when they were small, they didn't like, some of them didn't like green beans. And we put them on their plate and said, you've got to clean your plate. Well, then we'd look over and their plate was clean. Like they'd ate it. When we picked up the plate to clean the table, the green beans were stuck under the side of the plate on there. They were trying to fool us to thinking they ate it up when they hadn't eaten it up in that light. But John was told to eat it up. Well, Revelation 10:11, he said to me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. John was to eat this book, and he would prophesy what was in the book, explained it later on. He wasn't going to explain it then. He saw the seven seal scroll book and explained it then. But the little book, he would eat up and explain it later. He said, thou must prophesy again. So question 8, John would prophesy again what the little book said before many nations. That's during the 1,000-year reign. John will be back here, we'll be back here, and he'll explain what that little book was. And so we've got a lot of things to look forward to, and a lot of things going on besides just walking around talking to people or thinking that everything is great in that life. And so Ezekiel 3:1, now back to Ezekiel, he was told to eat the scroll that was put before him. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak in the house of Israel. So Ezekiel was to eat this scroll that was given to him and reveal it to those in captivity, to the Jews, not to the Babylonians. So question 9, Ezekiel was to
eat
the roll. Then question 10, Ezekiel was to, all right, to speak to the house of, all right, of Israel about what was in the roll. All right, now to eat. To eat something is to consume food with your body or in your body. Now, we talked about, I've talked about the matter of we're fishers of men. We're to catch fish, and then as we're to catch others and for Christ and to be consumed by Christ. Now, I never knew about, let's see, what's the term for catch and release? When you catch fish, you don't keep it, you turn it back in the water. And that catch and release, is there another term for that? But anyway, man, when I caught fish, I didn't want to release it. I put it in on a stringer or something else. And then when I got home, I cleaned it. I crucified it. I cleaned it, and then I consumed it. And it became part of me. Can you see all the catfish in me and the bass? It's all a part of me. Well, that's what we do with the Christian, with the lost person. We take them out of the filth of the lake of the world. We catch them, clean them. That's by the blood of Jesus. And then they're consumed into Jesus. And when you look at them, who do you see? Jesus. When they look at us, they're to see Jesus. See? If we've consumed it. To eat is to consume food in your body. It becomes part of you. Thing. Now, there's a statement made, and it's not in the Bible, but it was made many years ago. You are what you eat. Down through the years, that's been proven. And if you are a fan of any type of diet, that's what you're proving right there. You are what you eat. Why do you, a diet means you eat certain types of food for a particular reason. For your physical body, whether you be a diabetic or whatever else might be in that, or whether you be overweight or underweight or whatever it might be on that. And so to eat something is to consume it to become what you eat. Now, to eat is to consume a book in your mind and believe. So when he told to eat a scroll or eat a book, that means to consume it. You don't just read it. A lot of people read the Bible, they don't consume it. Now, I've always, when I was pastoring, pastors would get together time to time. And if you ever got a group of pastors together, first thing you did, you went to a restaurant. You went to eat. Now, if you want to know where good restaurants are, just look up a preacher. He'll tell you where the best restaurants are in town or around or the neighborhood with that on that. And I had one pastor friend of mine. We'd sit down to eat, and the food would come in. We'd have our food at the same time, give a blessing and ask God to bless the food. And about the third bite that I had, he was through. I said, what are you, a vacuum cleaner? I said, you just vacuumed that food right on up. I said, you didn't taste anything. Slow down and taste it. It's good. there was a movie out, What About Bill?
What About Bob?
Bob. This fellow that was kind of crazy, and he finally went to a psychiatrist's house, and the psychiatrist didn't want him there, but the wife, she's trying to be friendly, and so she had him to stay for a meal.
Yeah.
And the psychiatrist didn't want that. And so Bob began to eat that meal. He would take a bite of corn on cob. Mm, oh, man. He would have that delightful groan, and everything he ate was that just drive that psychiatrist up the wall on there. And the kids and the wife were just enjoying it thoroughly that he enjoyed the food. That's to consume it, say.
Yes.
When you ate the Bible like that, where you chew it slowly and it becomes part of you. Oh, that's so great. You remember Jesus after his resurrection was on the road to Emmaus and met up with two of the disciples there. And he talked to them about prophecy. What did they say after it was over, when he left them? Did not our heart burn within us? Man, wasn't that great? To eat is to consume. Ezekiel was to consume this book. Now, you are what you read. And I wish people would realize that. Be careful about what you read. And when you consume it, you'll become what you read. This has been proven over and over again. And we're to consume the word of God. Now, Ezekiel was to eat this, to consume. So in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 2, so I opened my mouth and it caused me to eat that roll. Oh, by the way, on your notes, there to eat is to consume a book in your mind and believe. I've got belief down there on the paper. You change that word belief to believe. And the computer made a mistake. That was just what we got through. To eat. To eat is to consume a book in mind and believe. On there it says believe. See, I was saying belief and you read belief. believe and you read the word belief as believe. Well, verse 2. So I opened my mouth and it caused me to eat that roll. Well, question 10, 11. Did Ezekiel eat the roll?
Amen.
Yes. And we're going to learn more about this as we go further in chapter 3 on that. But what we learned today in Ezekiel and what was going on, in that what Ezekiel was going to do wasn't going to be popular. The people that he was going to didn't want him there. They would not listen to him, but just said, well, if they're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to fool with this. And that was a thing that I had to deal with a lot of pastors. And over the years of pastoring, I would be in a young pastor would come in or new pastor to a church. And then after they was there about 4 or 5 months when the honeymoon was over with, so I'm looking for another, you know what, another church, or recommend me to another church. Why? What's the matter? Oh, they're not listening to me. They're not doing what I was saying. I said, well, that's no reason to leave. They said, you're there to preach God's word, whether they listen or not. And I said, if they were listening and doing everything that God told them to do, he wouldn't need you. I said, that's like a custodian fussing about that. Place is dirty. Well, if it wasn't dirty, you wouldn't have a job. You know, the fact that it's dirty, you got a job. And the fact that they're not going to listen, we've got a job of preaching the word and teaching the word, whether it be a pastor or whether it be a teacher. Well, I'm not going to teach that class anymore. They don't pay attention to me. Doesn't matter. You teach it, see. And so in Ezekiel, we said, Ezekiel said, and it's not going to be pleasant, not going to be easy. And things are not going to go the way you thought it ought to go. It's going to be difficult, but you're trusting God. You're doing God's will, not your will. Not for your pleasure, but that God's will would be done and the miracle be formed in touching the lives of the people around. Now, to do that, you're not just to read through, glance through, just go through the Bible. You're to consume it. You're to eat it. It's to become part of you. And that's what would happen with Ezekiel. Because if it didn't, then he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And who are we to think that we know more than what God knows? And we can change his word. We can change the meaning. That's not our job. Our job is to proclaim God's word, period. And so this is Ezekiel's task that we're going to see as we get further in the book of Ezekiel. And he's not just receiving this instruction from a man or from one of the other prophets. This is coming directly from God in a way that he's never imagined would come.